You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. In our first episode of the week, we started a new theme in our off-season series of, well, what happens if the Rockets don't lure LeBron James or Paul George or any other top free agent? We've spent a lot of time speculating on this show, especially right after the season ended with the Game 7 loss to the Warriors last week, about the big-name options the Rockets could go after and should be in the game for later this month and potentially as late as early July when free agency opens. Well, now this week, we're trying to look at the other side of the coin, which is what happens if the Rockets are not able to lure one of the big guns. Our first episode of the week, we discussed what it means as far as the mid-level exception, other guys the Rockets could go after in free agency, as well as the trade markets for guys like Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, who are big variables for the Rockets in terms of their value for very different reasons, should the Rockets look to the trade market as a way to upgrade their team. As the second part of that same discussion, I now want to turn our attention in the scenario where the Rockets don't land a LeBron James, Paul George, someone of that type. We even heard Jimmy Butler as a slight possibility, according to CyberX of Clutch fans. He posted that yesterday in his thread, so we will wait and see, especially once the NBA Finals come to an end, what Daryl Morey has up his sleeves. We know he's always big game hunting this time of year. Now with the Rockets having Chris Paul and James Harden coming off a 65-win season, you know good and well that Daryl's going to be trying to strike while the iron is hot. But it's not like all is lost if they are not able to lure one of these guys. This is a team that won 65 games, that pushed the Warriors to the brink. They went 8-2 through the first two rounds of the playoffs and took a 3-2 lead in the Warriors. And it took a perfect storm of, Chris Paul's hamstring injury, an 0-27 historic shooting outlier in Game 7, bad officiating to knock them off in seven games. And that was with the Rockets having a double-digit lead at the half of both Game 6 and Game 7. So this Rockets team, as is plenty good. That's why yesterday's show was focused on potential upgrades to the depth should they not make the big splash addition. And today's show, I want to turn our attention to re-signing the existing free agents, specifically the big guns being Chris Paul, Clint Capella, and Trevor Ariza. Now, Trevor Ariza is the easy one. He's going to be 33 years old. There's probably not a market for guys at his age, and there's not a big fit, I would say, because when you're looking at a veteran like that, I would say two-thirds of the league, especially in this era of super teams and the Warriors, there's not going to be a lot of teams where he makes a lot of sense. He's got a legacy in Houston. He's already made a lot of money over his career. My guess is that you're going to get a slight discount from Trevor Ariza, a favorable deal for him to stay in Houston where he's comfortable. He's a glue guy. I don't anticipate many problems there at all. Where it could get a little dicier is with Chris Paul and Clint Capella. And I have seen some trepidation on social media from Rockets fans who have seen various reports, nothing firm, but allegations that both of these guys may be either looking for the max or receive offers for the maximum salary from other teams. And if they get those, it's hard for anyone in the league not to be financially motivated. It's kind of silly to hold people accountable for wanting what the market is willing to pay them. And if you're the Rockets, do you want them to take less than the max? Of course you do. Every dollar you can save helps. But in my opinion, there's no scenario where letting one of those guys go makes any sense. Even if it's the max, I fully expect the Rockets to bite the bullet and take it and worry about the ramifications later. And I'm going to try and explain why over the next 20 minutes or so in today's show. The first thing that should be pointed out is that the Rockets can't replace them. Because between James Harden about to be making nearly $40 million a year on the renegotiated and extended deal last summer, and even if you sign just one of Chris Paul or Clint Capella, let alone both, you're going to be an over-the-cap team for the foreseeable future. So it's not like you can say, well, Clint Capella at $25 million a year, that might be a little much, so I'm going to reallocate that money and get DeAndre Jordan at $18 to $20 million a year. No, it doesn't work that way. if you're an over-the-cap team like the Rockets, it's either those guys or nothing. That's just the way it works in the modern era of the NBA and the salary cap. Now, the first thing that I would point out that I think we all need to kind of take a step back and realize is that not all maxes are created equal, because Clint Capela having played just four seasons and Chris Paul now being in double-digit seasons, Chris Paul could take less than his max, which Chris Paul's starting max, I believe, is in the mid-30s. Clint Capela is in the mid to upper 20s. Clint Capela could get the max. Chris Paul could take less than the max. And Chris could still be getting paid a significantly higher salary. And that's the way the Rockets are going to judge this. There's a lot of these debate shows, this, I guess, debate culture that we live in which we say, is a player worth the max? Well, there's such a big discrepancy in what the max is based on the tenure a player has in the NBA that to some degree it loses its meaning. The way teams are looking at it, the Rockets are looking at it in terms of dollar value, both on the salary cap and in the luxury tax, percentage of the salary cap. They're looking at just the raw data, the hard values, not is it max or is it not. So part of it, it's not just a matter of, well, is this guy taking the max or a little bit under? It's also understanding exactly what that dollar figure is and then what it means for your salary cap and your luxury tax ramifications going forward. Now, should the Rockets try to get them to take less? Of course they should. But I don't think you need to poke holes in either one. I don't think that makes for a great negotiating or team culture if the Rockets try and argue against them. I think, quite frankly, you can point to the Warriors, who have had several stars, including Kevin Durant, play for less than the max because they understand that the luxury tax fees, even for a team that wins as much as the Warriors have, about to win their third title in 4 years, are extremely restrictive. So I think you make a parallel to the team that you're competing with. You point out that these guys are making sacrifices because they understand that to win, sometimes sacrifices need to be made. That said, it could be difficult, especially because Chris Paul is president of the Players Association, and if he plays for below his worth or below his value on the open market, that sets a dangerous precedent. So he's in a unique situation. You have to keep that in mind. But at the same time, that role of his as president of the Players Association, it also has a lot of benefits. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second segment of our three-part show. In general, though, you do want to make the pitch to have both of these guys take a little bit below the max, because even if there's no direct flexibility this summer, at some point over the next few years, the luxury tax fees are going to add up, and if you save money here or there, it can make the difference in whether Tillman Fertitta feels able to do a particular move down the road to continue upgrading this roster to compete with a super team in the Warriors that is pretty much going nowhere, because I don't think any of their mainstays in terms of their core four are going to be any older than 30 entering next season. But even if one or both of Chris and Clint don't go for that, think back to how close this team actually was. Now, could there be some aging effects moving forward? Yes, I understand that outside of Capela, no one in the rotation is younger than 29. But even if there are some slight aging effects in terms of the Rockets running it back, that scenario not being quite the same as the 65-win juggernaut they were this year, I would remind you guys that first, there was a huge buffer zone between the Rockets and the rest of the West. Other than Golden State, no other team even won 50 games. The Rockets won 65, so there's a lot of wiggle room there. And even if there are some aging effects in the regular season over 82 games, I think you can partially offset that if you bolster your depth with some of the MLE candidates I mentioned yesterday. But even if there are some aging effects in terms of your core going up a year, I'm pretty confident that in the playoffs, no back-to-backs, more time between games, you know what you've got in this veteran group. They can find themselves very quickly. And again, it's a massive, massive buffer zone between the Rockets and everyone else in the Western Conference. As far as the remainder of this show, we're breaking it into three segments. First, just some general team thoughts, where the Rockets are. Segment two, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be discussing the individual strengths, weaknesses of each player and why, in my opinion, they are worth the max. And then third segment, we'll talk about management philosophy, starting with GM Joe Morey, and of course also involving owner Tillman Fertitta. But in closing out our initial team segment, I want to leave you guys with this. One of the common parallels that I've seen throw out, or apparent parallels, I should say, involves the Rockets not matching on the max given to Chandler Parsons in restricted free agency a couple of years ago. That was back in the summer of 2014 by the Dallas Mavericks. And there's a quote from Daryl Morey, something along the lines of, you want to be the team that drafts Chandler Parsons as opposed to the team that pays him the max. And of course, that was a bit of a shot at his friend slash rival in Mark Cuban up in Dallas. And of course, the reason people reference that scenario is that Clint Capella is now entering restricted free agency after his fourth year, the same way that Parsons was. I think Parsons was after his third season because of that funky contract he signed after being a second rounder, and the Rockets probably let him out a year early as part of the wink-wink agreement with his agent, Dan Fagan, after the Rockets signed Dwight Howard, another Fagan client, a year prior. But the reason people bring up the Parsons parallel is that you could poke holes and say, is he really a max player, just like you could say the same with Clint Capella now. But what people are forgetting about that scenario, the Rockets have admitted that they would have matched the Chandler Parsons contract if they had gotten Chris Bosh. The reason is that if you had gotten Chris Bosh, A, your financial flexibility would have been gone anyway, and B, they would have seen themselves as a legitimate championship contender, one worth going all in on. When they didn't get Bosh, when Bosh spurned them at the 11th hour to stay in Miami, essentially what you were left with was the team that had just lost in the first round to the Portland Trail Blazers, and at that point, future flexibility became a bigger part of the equation, and the Parsons contract, not just the money, but all the bells and whistles, the no-trade clause and the trade kicker and all the things that made it what Daryl called about the most untradeable contract in league history, all of those things became more significant because the Rockets weren't willing to lock themselves in. Well, folks, think about where the Rockets are right now. 65 wins, having won 11 in the playoffs, pushed the Warriors to the brink. There's a lot more the Rockets have in common with the Chris Bosh scenario at the moment than they do with where they ended up in July 2014 after not getting Chris Bosh and basically having the same team that had just lost in the first round. So yes, the Chandler Parsons scenario could be a parallel, but it's a different parallel than what some people are alleging. I think where the Rockets are now is much more reflective of the logic that they would have used had they gotten Chris Bosh, and had that been the case, they would have matched the Chandler Parsons contract, even with it being a slight overpay, and even with it being practically untradeable. I think that is much more reflective of where the Rockets are right now in June 2018, coming off a historic season with a franchise record and wins. Now, I wanted to lead with a team segment because I think going into any discussion about paying one or both of Chris Paul and Clint Capella the max, you have to understand where the Rockets are at as a team, because whether it's worth it to pay those guys that money in large part depends on where you are as a franchise. But aside from team factors, it's important to look at these two as individuals. And besides the obvious that if the market's willing to pay them the max, then they're worth the max. Yes, I understand that. But besides that, there are some individual reasons that both of those guys are conceivably worth the money. And I'll start with Chris Paul. With Chris, if he gets a contract starting in mid-30s in terms of millions of dollars per year, I think maybe with Chris, there's probably a more realistic avenue, by the way, not to get a discount in terms of annual money, but maybe in years. We've seen a lot of precedent, specifically with LeBron and Durant, the true stars, to take contracts that are not the maximum of 4 or 5 years. If they sign one-year deals with a player option, then it gives them more leverage, more flexibility over their situations, that if suddenly they find themselves in a bad situation, like maybe LeBron is in Cleveland right now, they can easily extract themselves. I think maybe there's a happy medium. Chris Paul at 33 probably needs a little more financial security, but as opposed to getting a full 4 or 5 year max, maybe he gets a 3 year max. I think that's something that's more likely. I don't think you'll see Chris take less than the max for a lot of reasons. Certainly he was expecting it last summer when he opted in, took $10 million less right then and there, as opposed to entering free agency and getting his max. But beyond that, yes, he's in a delicate position as president of the Players Association. But regardless, whether it's the max for 5 years, the max for 3, or anything in between, the reality for Chris Paul is that this contract, it's a legacy thing. He's one of the 2 or 3 greatest point guards to ever play the game. And that's not unique to Chris in terms of these legacy deals. Guys in their mid-30s are rarely worth their contract. You're doing it in part, or in large part, I should say, based on their pedigree, and because you hope that the players' intangibles might be even more in key spots, which is something that we did see this past postseason. Game 5 against Utah, when he closed him out with 41-10 and 0 turnovers, and then both Game 4 and Game 5 against Golden State, which Mike D'Antoni said effectively won both of those games with how he played in the second half of those two games. The other factor to consider with Chris Paul is his connections, and this ties back into what we were discussing earlier with his role as president of the Players Association. The downside to that role is that it makes it tougher for him to take a discount. And by the way, I should have mentioned earlier, but the only way the Rockets, if they can lure LeBron James or Paul George, the only way they would get those is via an opt-in and trade. So for those saying, well, would Chris Paul take a discount to get LeBron James? Again, that's not even remotely a reasonable discussion because there's no real route for the Rockets to have any cap room, let alone max cap room, to go after one of those guys. So that discussion, it gets thrown out there a lot, but it's just one without much knowledge of the salary cap and where the Rockets are at. You would need to basically radically deconstruct the team, not just have Chris Paul take a slight pay cut to be anywhere near offering a viable contract to LeBron James, Paul George, or any top free agent out there. But getting back to his role with the Players Association, the downside is it makes it tough for him to take that pay cut. The upside? Boy, does Chris have connections. Chris is the reason that Luke Bamute and PJ Tucker came to Houston last summer at discounts. He's the reason Carmelo Anthony tried everything possible to come here. And he's also the biggest reason that you're presumably in the game for LeBron James this summer. In terms of Chris as an individual basketball player by himself, is he worth $35 billion or more per season, especially when you consider his age, the possibility of soft tissue injuries such as the hamstring he suffered in Game 5 against the Warriors, and the fact that moving forward, you're probably going to have, even if there aren't any injuries, a handful of maintenance games throughout the year, limited minutes to 30, 32 per game, etc., etc. Individually, probably not. But for NBA players in their mid-30s, you're not signing them based purely on what they're going to give you over 82 games. And you're also not signing them on whether the contract is going to be seen around the league as friendly or not. Because once you get to the age that Chris Paul is at, he'll be 34 next postseason. It's not like he would have a large trade market anyway because so few teams are actually going for it, especially in this era of the Golden State Warriors. So a lot of contracts you sign, especially for mid and lower tier guys, you always wonder about, well, what's their value? Could you package them later? What's the perception going to be? For Chris Paul, that's not a part of the equation when the Rockets evaluate the deal they're giving him at all. It's about the legacy. It's about the intangibles in the playoffs. It's about the connections around the league. And quite frankly, because you already made a decision to go down this road when you traded for him last summer, you gave up a lot of assets, Pat Beverly, Lou Williams, a first-round draft pick. And then when you also, after making that trade, gave James Harden a deal that's going to pay him over $40 million a year well into his 30s, you have already gone down that path to a large degree. You are all in. This is just the requisite extension of that, and we'll talk more about that in segment 3 when we look at the management side of the fence. Now, turning to Capella, the questions with Clint are sort of the opposite. He's very young, 24 years old. Very durable, no real injury concerns. I guess the questions with Clint in terms of if he's a so-called max player is if he's dynamic enough as a scorer to be worth the max, or if his game is somewhat of a product of having Chris Paul and or James Harden around him at all times. And of course, the attention they draw from defenses, their elite passing ability, the pick and roll game, which sets up Clint for a lot of lobs, especially over 82 games, etc., etc. My response to that would be this. If you re-sign Clint Capella, and I fully expect that to happen, he's still going to be a product of Chris Paul and James Harden moving forward. So what I mean by that is, if the market, based on these current factors, is willing to pay Clint Capella the max in July of 2018, there's no reason to think it wouldn't in February or July 2019. And what I mean by that is, even if for some reason the worst-case scenario comes together. Maybe the Rockets do suffer some aging effects. Maybe, for whatever reason, the pieces don't click as well. They don't look like a contender. The Warriors are even better. Sure, there are some downside scenarios that are always possible. Worst case, if Clint is offered the max this summer, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to trade him a few months from now if these worst case scenarios come to be, and perhaps even get a positive asset out of the deal as well. So there's no real scenario where if teams are willing to pay Clint Capela the max, that it doesn't make sense if you're the Rockets to match that. And of course, as a restricted free agent, they'll have the option to do just that. The best case for Clint Capela, if you sign him to a max deal, look at how much he improved just within the past year in year four. He's only 24 years old. He's got a great work ethic. He's made huge strides, especially defensively, just within the past year. He could continue to get better. The chemistry could continue to build. As great as he was with James Harden, I actually don't think in year one, that year one of Chris Paul, that he and Clint were in that much sync together, especially in the lob game. That could continue to get better the more they play together as the years pass. That's the best case scenario. Even in the worst case scenario, though, if things go wrong for the Rockets as a team, based on Clint's age, there's no real reason you wouldn't be able to trade him later. So it's a move. If Clint gets the max this summer offer from another team, and even if he holds firm, and again, it's hard to hold it against him if a player wants to get everything that they're worth on the open market, it's just hard to see a scenario where it makes sense for the Rockets to say, okay, that's too rich for our blood, you can walk to Phoenix or wherever the team is. No, even if you have some doubts on the team or Clint individually, whatever, you match it and figure out the rest later. And if for some reason things aren't working out, then in February 2019 or July 2019, you can revisit his situation then. In no way does it make sense to let Clint Capela walk right now. Now, the final reason why I would be willing to give Chris Paul and Clint Capela the max this summer, not wanting to, but willing before I would let either go, is that you need to have a consistent philosophy of management. I mentioned the fact that the Rockets have already largely gone down the path of being all in when they gave the enormous contract extension to James Harden last summer, when they traded the assets they did for Chris Paul. They've already gone down this road, so it's kind of silly to pull back now, especially when you realize that you're in an era of the Warriors and super teams. Whenever the Warriors fade, there's probably going to be another spot where players join up, the same way it started this decade with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh on the Miami Heat. If you're going to compete with teams like that, you have got to be consistent in your management philosophy. You can't just dip your toes in the water and halfway compete. You need to be all in, which is what the Rockets have been doing and have already stated they intend to continue doing this summer. Or you need to take a step back, which is what so many other teams have been doing, and rebuild with an eye on 3 to 5 years from now, presumably when the Warriors start to fade. Of course, in the interim, you get financial flexibility, high draft picks, etc., etc. Fortunately, the Rockets aren't doing that because the rarity of getting a player like James Harden in his prime, that doesn't happen very much. And even if the Rockets 5 years from now go through quite a decline as some of these guys age and the contracts get really rich, I'm okay with that for a legit shot at the ring. And if you want a reminder, again, the Rockets were 24 minutes away twice with a double-digit lead from effectively getting the ring this year. Yes, even if they don't lure LeBron James or Paul George, they are that close. And in my opinion, if you have, say, James Harden and Chris Paul without Clint Capela, or Harden and Clint Capela without Chris Paul, if you say that, well, I'll give the max to one of these guys, but I just can't do it for both, for whatever reason. In today's NBA, that's the absolute worst place to be. Essentially, at that point, you'd just be getting consistent 50, 55 win seasons without any real chance of competing with Golden State. You'd be capped out, meaning no financial flexibility, and you'd also not be getting any high draft picks because you're winning more than most teams. Essentially, you'd be the Memphis Grizzlies of the past decade, just slowly decaying and dying a slow death, all for the highs of what? A few playoff series wins in the first round? That is the complete antithesis of everything that Daryl Morey has said and done as a GM since he took over the Rockets 11 plus years ago. Daryl is as big of a big picture thinker as there is. Everything for him is about winning the title, not simply being competitive. And if there was a problem in terms of new owner Tillman Fertitta, it would have come up by now, because you better believe that all season long, ever since Tillman officially bought the team in October, and even before that when he was going through the bidding process, he's been made very aware of the various financial scenarios, which do involve, some of them, having to pay Chris Paul or Clint Capela the max. That said, let's pretend you're feeling really pessimistic for whatever reason. Even if you say the Rockets aren't as close as I think they are, being, as I said, 24 minutes away, the perfect storm of circumstances in Game 7, if you don't bring back one of Chris Paul or Clint Capela, you really shouldn't bring back the other. And quite frankly, when you consider that Harden would be very unhappy by letting one or both of those guys go, and then the soonest you could possibly contend with him, if you let Chris Paul and Clint Capela walk, would be when Harden's, what, 31, 32, 33 years old and making over $40 million a year, you might need to trade Harden as well. Personally, I don't know about y'all, but that seems like quite a stretch and pretty ridiculous to me, all for a team that, again, was basically 24 minutes from an NBA title twice, all while requiring the perfect storm of Chris Paul's injury, the historic outlier of a shooting stretch, bad officiating. We've been through this ad nauseum over the past week plus since that Game 7. I'm pretty confident the Rockets aren't even remotely considering the scenario of letting one or most of those guys go. But if you are, the only way it even remotely makes sense is if you tear it all down. And I have seen nothing to indicate the Rockets are even remotely considering that. Everything that we have seen and heard from them is that they intend on being very aggressive. And even if they can't get a LeBron James or Paul George, which is on the front burner, then I fully expect them to bring it back, try and fortify the depth spots, because all the Rockets did this year, keep in mind that Mike D'Antoni didn't feel like he could trust anything after about the seventh, at most eighth spot on the bench. Imagine if you can upgrade the spots that went to guys like Joe Johnson, Ryan Anderson, and Nene to guys that were better fits for the system, guys with more two-way ability, with trust between the player and Mike D'Antoni. To me, there's plenty of optimism simply if the Rockets run it back and tinker around the edges, especially if they have that full mid-level exception and can keep Luke Bamute on the non-bird tender, which we discussed in Monday's show. But if for whatever reason you're more pessimistic than me, the thing that I would tell you is that there's no reason to nibble. There's no reason to pay one of Chris Paul or Clint Capela and not the other. Or quite frankly, even have James Harden under contract as long as he is, if you're going to take away one of your big three. If you take away one of Chris Paul or Clint Capela, there is no way that this team is going to compete with the Warriors. And as Chris Paul said in his documentary last summer, if you're not trying to compete with the Warriors, what are you doing? Daryl Morey is not in this to win 50 or 55 games a season. He's in it to have a chance to win the title. And even if the money is a little steeper than you like for Chris Paul and Clint Capela, it's a lot better than the alternative of those guys walking for nothing and then having no real avenue to upgrade the team from there. And if you're willing to let them do that because you think the line needs to be drawn that tightly, then I would say that you need to do that across the board and not just for one of these two players. Ultimately, though, I think this is all just a philosophical debate without much real purpose. I expect both to be back with the Rockets, be at the max or slightly under that. I think it's pretty clear that whether the Rockets add on to the team or not, both Chris Paul and Clint Capela are very much in the plans moving forward, as evidenced by the comments from Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni at the X interviews last week. I think it's just a formality. This is more just a philosophical debate exercise. Even if you look at the other side of the coin, there's just no real way it makes sense, short of wanting to rebuild the entire thing, to let one of those guys go. Even if it takes the max, quite simply, the Rockets are just going to have to pay it, because it's a lot better than the alternative when you consider it, where they are as a franchise. So with that, I will leave things for today. As always, thanks for tuning in. If you want more content from me, best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Website account at lockedonrockets.com. All ways that you can get in touch with me, ask questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, access our prior content. Anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Also, if you haven't subscribed to us already, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, et cetera, subscribe. That's how you'll get our episodes immediately when they come out. With Daryl Morey, you know there's always going to be breaking news. So if you want immediate reaction, subscribing to us is the best way to get notification whenever a new show comes out. And if you leave us a 5-star review, I would really appreciate it, because that's how we remain viable to advertisers and keep this thing going as the most regular podcast covering the Houston Rockets. One final time, I'm Ben DuBose, your host. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.